welcome to a Nerdsign episode of the Click Nations Comic Book Chronicles. I'm your host, Tim D-O-double-G. And tonight I thought I'd be cool like Agent 70 and wear me some glasses during the show. And of course, since I've already introduced him, Agent 70 is here, manning the sound effects.
What's up, everybody?
And we also have Roddy Cat here in attendance.
Yay!
I am here.
And we want to say happy birthday to our absent host, Dirt, from PopCultureNetwork.com. He had his birthday earlier this week.
Happy birthday, Dirt.
And, of course, now he's sick and not feeling well, so he won't be joining us tonight, but we hope he gets better soon.
Feel well. Feel better, Dirt. Get well soon.
Find Wolverine's healing factor and use that.
It's out there somewhere.
Yeah.
He just couldn't take all the excitement over San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah, seriously. You know what? It's all a scam. He's in San Diego right now. He's just not telling us.
So speaking of San Diego Comic-Con, that is taking place as we record. Already there's been tons of announcements from all the different publishers on new books and new projects coming out in comics and in TV. So let's take a look at some of the breaking news. Let's see.
Man, where's the stinger for that?
Oh, I'm jumping ahead and having done all the plug-in. Let me backtrack.
Just make so sure excited to go to... about the
yeah, company. Seriously, it's San Diego. We're just like, let's get into the news right away. Let's plug, and then we'll get that out of the way.
Yes, make sure to go to theclicknation.com, where you can find previous episodes of the Comic Book Chronicles and the Click Nation podcast, which we've recorded two more episodes in the last 2 weeks. Hopefully those will go online sometime in the near future.
Enjoy our new, fresh-looking website.
That's right.
With new content, damn it.
New content. I have put posts up once a day for every day this week.
Nice.
And one post agent, a day.
And this agent finally got his recap of Special Edition NYC up there. So go there, take a look, and see what I thought of the inaugural Special Edition NYC.
That's right.
And Roddy's being a sorry ass. So sorry, get into it.
Hey, I haven't done my Heroes Con post yet either.
I don't even want to boo because it took me so long to do mine.
It's in my drafts on the website, so right. Just needs to be worked on some more.
All right, finish the plug-in.
Follow the Twitter account at TheClickNation. Like the Facebook fan page, facebook.com/TheClickNation. Add us to your circles on Google Plus. Search for TheClickNation. And make sure to follow the Google Plus page. Just search for TheClickNation. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/TheClickNation. On iTunes and Stitcher Radio, search again for TheClickNation. Use the hashtag Comic Book Chronicles on your favorite social media channels. And remember, we record live every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, except for next week when Guardians of the Galaxy premieres, and I will try to record after I see it around 10-ish. And if you ever have any feedback you want to have read on a future show, send that on over to theclicknation@gmail.com. And one other plug, we are now a part of the Cold Slither Podcasting Network.
Yeah!
Make sure to go to the website, coldslitherpodcast.com. It used to be a podcast, now it's a network that highlights different podcasts from around the internet. So if you like comic books, you have the Comic Book Chronicles. If you like 24, there's another 24 from Classic Material himself. And there's the Good and Terrible Show and many others. So check that out.
Awesome.
Let's get to some news.
Yay!
Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson has started teasing a Shazam role for himself. He gave an interview with IGN where he basically said, you know, him and DC are talking and they've got something cooking.
And, no pun intended.
Yeah, no pun intended. I'm just good like that.
That was funny.
And then today he tweeted out the cover to, I think it was the Batman, Superman, or Superman, Shazam / Captain Marvel one-shot straight-to-video animated. Yep.
Wow. See, this is what I miss when, you know, we have to work for a living. My goodness.
Let me see if I can scroll down my tweets to find what exactly he said in it. I'll get to it. I'll pass it. He says, someone's going to get it. And it's a picture of Shazam, Black Adam, and Superman.
No kidding.
So the question is he playing Shazam or Black Adam?
My hope would be Black Adam.
Yeah, because Black Adam's the one that fits. See? See, the sound guy's got to try to incorporate different things into the show now. But
switching it up.
Exactly. Switch up a little. But, yeah, no, like, I think Black Adam is the role that, you know, he's built for. Although I'll take Shazam. You know, that's fine. You know, he might look a little silly in the gold and the red. But, you know, I can see him. You could just put the Black Adam costume on him and he would just be a spitting image of Black Adam.
Plus, it's like, can't see him with jeans and a t-shirt or Billy Batson style.
Yeah.
Or can he?
Well, you know.
They would have to have a Billy Batson, you know, like a second actor playing Billy Batson, the kid.
Nope. They just use CG and then they just...
like Skinny Steve?
Yeah, put his head on a little kid's body or something.
Let's see. Next up we have... announced at San Diego Comic-Con, Cameron Stewart discusses Fight Club sequel and character design.
Already he's messed up because you cannot
discuss
Fight Club.
So that's going to be cruel.
A comic book sequel to Fight Club called Fight Club 2, I believe, with Cameron Stewart, who's one of the creators on the I guess, I was going to call it the new Batgirl, but it's a new creative team on Batgirl. So I haven't seen Fight Club, so that news didn't really resonate with me, but I know a lot of people got excited over it.
What? Really? Wow, dude.
Hey, you know.
Can't help if I haven't seen it.
Wow, you
know,
dude.
That, you know what? That one is probably more acceptable than, I mean, not that we would have anything to do with it, but that one's kind of more acceptable than some other stuff, you know.
Yep.
Fight Club's kind of one of those ones. It's like, if you were already there, you were there, but, you know, they haven't tried to remake it, you know, yet.
No, what I was going to say also is that Fight Club, you know, to be perfectly honest, I don't think it gets that much run on cable. Have you seen it on cable? You know, I guess maybe it had its turn. But it's not like one of those films that's like constantly rerun. Like, what movies is it that we're always shocked that you haven't seen, Tim? Is it The Godfather?
Yeah, I haven't seen. Well, I've seen bits and pieces of Godfather.
Yeah, see, like, you know, I'll give you that as an example, right? That's something you must see. But that's also something that you see that is always playing on cable. You know, as opposed to Fight Club, which I don't think is always on. But I could be wrong. 5 will get you 10. You pull up the TV Guide the TV Guide website, and you punch in Fight Club, and it's probably on tomorrow. So you never know.
They need to put it in my face.
All right.
That's the only way I'm going to see it. Like, if I'm flipping channels and I get to HBO and Fight Club is on.
All right, so next Google Hangout is Tim watching Fight Club.
That's going to be a special edition of the Comic Book Chronicles.
Exactly.
Indeed. All right, let's see what else we get.
Avengers Now!
Avengers Now! So we got the big announcements concerning Superior Iron Man, Female Thor, and Black Captain America. So what member of, I guess, I don't know why they call it the big three, because they always leave the Hulk out.
Yeah, exactly. Well, because the Hulk was like kicked off the team so early.
So. Yeah, he's always kicked off. But so we find out what changes Hulk is going to go through. So for those who haven't been keeping track, yeah, spoilers, he in the Hulk, the launched Hulk series, he was shot in the back of the head and Iron Man had to save him. So he injected him with the Extremis to repair his brain. And a couple of issues after that, he took some more Extremis. And now we have a Hulk who is intelligent.
Again.
With, you know, like we haven't seen that before.
Yeah. Never. You know, it could have been worth it. Could have made him inhuman, so.
just wait till that happens to Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver.
Lord.
Right? Some people have speculated.
You're making them inhumans? My gosh.
You know, so they can't be mutants.
That's right.
Yeah, but there is a book where we're going to talk about that comes up.
Mm-mm-mm. Yep. So, and of course, Jerry Duggan will be taking the writing over from Mark Waid, and in his opening arc, this intelligent Hulk is going to take it upon himself to get rid of all the other gamma radiated characters in the Marvel Universe.
They should just call it Gamma Wars, like the Armor Wars, because that's what you know.
I think they're calling it Omega Hulk. Omega Hulk, I think is what it's called.
Yeah, but as soon as I saw the blurb that described this the story arc, I was like, "What? It's Armor Wars."
Like I said, I felt like they did that once, but there was an Armor Wars 2, so that's not saying that stops anything.
True enough. Yeah.
I think the reason they recycle a lot of storylines is, of course, it's for a new audience, new generation, so let them experience.
A version of it, right.
Yeah, a version of it, because it's not like they just do the same thing over. They try to put a twist to it.
True.
Okay.
All right.
Sony has release dates for Sinister Six and Amazing Spider-Man 3 movies.
But they've been pushed back. They've been pushed back from their original dates, right?
Yes. Amazing Spider-Man 3 was originally set to come out in 2016. And now Sinister Six is, and Amazing Spider-Man 3 is pushed back to 2018. To which Marvel quickly went and claimed that 2016 date that Amazing Spider-Man 3 was going to have.
Suck it, Sony!
So, of course, I think I have this listed later, but Marvel... Actually, I don't. I have it on my lot. But yeah, make sure to go to theclicknation.com and look for my San Diego Comic-Con 2014 live blog where I have been updating it, you know, each day. I have a Wednesday section and now a Thursday.
Nice. So
discussing the news that only matters to me. Because there's only so much news I can report and talk about. So... I have a little couple tidbits from Wednesday, and one of them was Marvel announcing future dates for 5 movies. They're, you know, going ahead and claiming dates. Mm-hmm. And then with the Amazing Spider-Man 3 being pushed back, they went and claimed that one to make it 6 total. So
there you go.
And of course, we should hopefully get some announcements concerning what some of those movies are on Saturday night during the Marvel Studios panel. At least that's the assumption.
At some point this weekend, they're going to expand on all this, so
And why is, I'm assuming maybe Spider-Man's going to be involved in the Sinister Six movie? Because, like, 4 years, that's a long time to go without a Spider-Man movie.
I think, you know what's funny about that is I think what I was reading makes some sense. I think they're still kind of wishy-washy. You know, they're not committed to doing a third Spider-Man movie because they're not thrilled with how poorly received the second one was.
Yeah, that's possible. Didn't make as much. It was the lowest grossing.
You know, God forbid they actually have a halfway decent storyline as opposed to, you know, what they did. So, but that's another story for another day.
Right. Okay, what else we got? Some television deals were inked with comic book creators Warren Ellis, Rick Remender, and Frank. Is it Frank?
Barbieri.
Barbieri.
Barbieri are all getting TV deals.
Chang Chang.
Hey, I'm watching the TNA Impact, and what's this dude? Low-Key is making an appearance.
Not Loki, fellas. Not people low, out there. Not the god of mischief.
All right, so I've got the comic book resources link open. So Warren Ellis is teaming with The Walking Dead executive producer Gail Ann Hurd to develop his first original television series, one of three comics-related deals announced by Universal Cable Productions. UCP also optioned Five Ghosts, the Image comic series by Frank Barbieri and Chris Mooneyham, and with IDW Entertainment, Nightmare, the 2005 horror comic by Rick Remender and Kieran Dwyer. And all three of these are being developed as live action TV series. So congrats to those gentlemen. Hopefully those shows actually make it on air and don't just sit in limbo.
Languish in development, yeah.
Hey, Powers is coming out now, so at ease.
That's right.
Speaking of which, listen to Brian Michael Bendis on this week's episode of the Let's Talk Comic Podcast.
Oh, yeah.
It's part two of James Viscardi's chat with Brian. And order his book, Words with Pictures or something, that came out this week?
Hang on for a second because I got it.
Oh, Bendis' book?
Yeah. Words for Pictures.
The Art and Business of Writing Comics and Graphic Novels.
There you go.
Which I got to order for Adam Black for his birthday, which was on Sunday.
Nice.
Happy birthday, bro. Okay.
Happy birthday.
Everyone with birthdays.
Happy birthday.
And back to TV news. Arrow's Roy Harper becomes Arsenal.
You mean not Red Arrow?
Not Red Arrow.
It damn looked, you sure looked like it was Red Arrow.
I gotta say, despite him in all red and holding a bow and arrow for the released image.
And looking a hell of a lot like Green Arrow just dyed red.
I like his suit better. It's something about the way the red and black go together.
Yeah.
Makes it look badass. Badass.
Very 90s.
In a good way.
That's funny.
IDW and Comics Experience announced publishing alliance featuring creator-owned books from new talent.
Cool.
So that's impressive. Getting new names out there. So this is stuff I just saw today offhand. Comixology to change everything by offering DRM-free options to comics publishers.
Yeah, I think that came out a couple of days ago, if I'm not mistaken, or something like that. But that's kind of huge for Comixology,
right?
And who is also
so is that for that basically you go on Comixology and pay to get a copy of like a PDF or CBR CRB, what those files are called.
Maybe not more like PDF. I think the CBR. Well, I guess I don't know if CBR is got DRM in it. No, I don't think it does. Either way, I think it just basically gives publishers the right to say, hey, we'll give this to you. Which, you know, whether the big two will take that up or not, we'll see. But I would imagine, you know, like Image and Dark Horse, but some of the smaller ones will do it. And probably already are, if I'm not mistaken, because I know some of them that are doing it on their own sites.
Right. That Panel Syndicate does DRM for you, right?
I don't know that one.
From Brian, was it? Not Brian K. Vaughan. Who is Panel Syndicate? Dork Geekus is always talking to me about that series, and now I'm drawing a blank. Panel Syndicate is... Yeah, Private Eye from Brian K. Vaughan and Marcos Martin. Oh, okay. They have that pay what you want. So if you want to pay $1 for the for a comic, you can pay $1. You want to pay more, you can pay more.
Speaking of which is not, this is not in the lineup. I should have put this up. Hang on a second. Humblebundle.com, I believe it is. I hope that's the right one. Where you'll see. That's not it. Either way, well, so there's something called Humblebundle that happens usually around video games, where you pay X amount and get X amount of video games. There are also some from. I think IDW has a bundle out there, and somebody else that I just saw has a bundle out there where you can do that exact same thing for comic books. So go check that out, and hopefully there will be a link and or something. I know I put a link out there on News Nerds Need.
Yeah.
Somewhere. But I will link somewhere else and maybe write something up on it.
Okay. Speaking of digital books, you can now pay 99 cents to read 15,000 Marvel comics online with Marvel Unlimited, which I tried to sign up for today, and people had already crashed the site.
That doesn't take much.
Yeah, I said I'll try it later. And I actually think I'll keep my subscription this time.
Yeah, it comes in quite handy at various times, especially since you can like download like 12 books, you know, to read offline.
Word. So San Diego, at San Diego Comic-Con, Image brought their Image Expo for the first time and made announcements of 12 new series, none of which actually really interested me, to be honest. Of course, I'm not their biggest demographic, but...
That's funny.
Especially because a lot of the stuff doesn't come out till like this time next year.
Right.
Well, you know, the hype machine's got to get rolling.
Yeah, you know, you have this event and why not?
I can understand like 6 months, you know, a 6 month lead, but like stuff coming out in spring, even though I guess Marvel's hyped stuff up for spring next year too, whatever, the end of their universe or whatever they're teasing people with.
Right. The one that kind of caught my eye was the Warren Ellis, Delvin Shalvey one.
Jordy Belair.
Yeah, it's like the Moon Knight team's going to come back together again for another book. So.
Yeah, all the Moon Knight fans will be happy.
Yep.
I just don't... I don't read many Warren Ellis books. I tried Trees and... Like, his writing style and the stuff he's into, I don't think meshes with my my likes.
All right, here's what you do. If you get back into Marvel Unlimited, go look up Next Wave and see if you like that one.
I did start when they did the last 99 cent deal. I started the first issue of that. But then
Next Wave is good.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy, but it's really good.
But see, none of the other books are like that he does.
That is also true. Like, Moon Knight was probably the closest you were going to get, and that's not even, you know.
Yeah, and I was kind of like, eh, it's all right.
Or Planetary, which I still have yet to read that.
I want to go back and read his Image stuff, that Authority. Because I remember reading Authority when it switched from Stormwatch to Authority back when I was collecting Stormwatch, and I was kind of mad it switched over, and then he like got rid of the whole cast and was bringing in Midnighter and all these other people, and I just remember the stories just didn't interest me. But like that was younger Tim Dog.
Yeah.
So I do remember like because didn't Brian Hitch draw that?
Authority? I don't know.
No, that's Frank Whiteley.
Oh.
Well, I remember
it being like big, massive, like sort of like.
No, you're right. It might be Hitch.
Cinematic looking stuff, and I was just kind of like, eh. And let's see. Oh, so yes, announced before the show started. Marvel had their Avengers and X-Men access panel.
Yes, I was just reading it.
I was following along. And if you go to Marvel San Diego Comic-Con 2014 hub and pull up the little live blog, you can see tweets from me.
Yay!
But anyway, they had a couple of they basically talked about at least what they could talk about regarding Axis, and they didn't really announce anything that had already been talked about in other interviews, but they did make the announcement of a original graphic novel by Rick Remender and Jerome Opeña called Avengers Rage of Ultron. And it's going to take place in continuity. Thank you.
You're welcome. No, that's pretty cool that that they're doing this. And I'm skimming the Bleeding Cool article on this, and they're talking about boosting the presence of the Vision in this and in the Axis books to sort of coincide with the Vision's likely appearance in the Avengers movie. Let's see what else here.
I'm okay with.
Mm-hmm.
I guess. Not the biggest Vision fan.
I'm glad to see him come back, though. So
yeah.
That works. Alrighty.
I need to know when this original graphic novel is going to be released so I can know to order it.
It says April 2015.
There you go.
Say it one more time.
I said it says April 2015.
Ooh, birthday present for myself.
And also coinciding with the movie.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Oh, and I see here in the Bleeding Cool write-up, they're calling Thor Odinson, so that they can refer to the female Thor as Thor. So and I guess that's how they differentiate them.
I believe they must have given like incorrect info out during the panel, because they said that neither Thor was going to be involved in Axis, but I'm pretty sure they had Odin's son on some of the covers they released.
Yeah. Right.
So who knows? Oh, and last bit of news, unless someone else has something to mention, but our buddies Jeffo and Mast are doing storyboards for the Infinite comic that was announced earlier today during the House of Ideas panel.
Nice.
Called All New Captain America. All New Captain America, Fear Him.
Cool. Good for them.
From Dennis Hopeless and Simone Kudransky. Hopefully I did not butcher your name too much, sir. It's by Simon, now that I think about it. S-Z-Y-M-O-N. Probably like a funky way of saying Simon. Simon Kudransky. And that's coming out October of this year.
Cool.
So, shout outs to them.
Indeed. Wait, I'm sorry. Side note. Did Dan Slott write a Ren and Stimpy book? Huh.
That was his first comic, I guess his first Marvel work or whatever, or Disney, Marvel, whoever.
That sounds weird, but that makes a whole lot of sense somehow.
Oh, by the way, I know, I lack the the wherewithal and the knowledge, and I've already had a couple of beers. But they released some promo posters for the Avengers movie that had images of some of the Avengers and being surrounded by Ultrons.
Yes,
that was pretty cool.
I will say that was awesome.
That was pretty cool. It's definitely, you know what? It's reminiscent of this goes back a little bit of a ways, but to Perez and Kurt Busiek's Avengers run, where you know they had Ultron basically destroying an entire country, and you know, and kind of having a horde of Ultrons attack. I think you know a lot of the imagery is you know like looks so familiar from those Busiek and Perez issues.
All right.
I guess we can move on to our reviews of the week.
Sounds good.
Let's get Storm number one out the way.
All right.
Yes, indeed.
Not that we have to get it out of the way. I like this book.
Oh, yes.
It's not like we have to say, let's just do it and get it over with.
No, not at all.
What Tim's saying is that as the X-Men fan he is and how excited he was for this book, even though he hadn't read it yet, he just wanted to know the glory of it. That's all.
Hey, I read it.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yeah.
Did I stay
incorrect? That's a great picture, by the way.
Yeah, I was looking at that, too. It's like, hey, I like that.
Oh, yeah, I forgot what article I got that off of. But.
So Storm number one from Greg Pak and Victor
Ibanez?
Yes. Thank you. What do we want to say about it?
Well, very quickly, I just wanted to just say, Greg Pak is definitely a quality writer. He's written some good stuff. World War Hulk comes to mind. Victor Ibanez is the real revelation in this book. I don't know what else he's done, but you know, reading this, the art was consistent. You know, the line work was quality. I thought that, just the art in general was just very well done. Like I said, he's a revelation to me, and I'm very impressed by this book.
So the couple of things for me with this book is like, I am a very big Storm fan, and if you follow me on Twitter, you kind of know that because that's part of my avatar. And there are certain points where I was like, you know what? I don't know whether I would love to see a Storm book by herself, but not sure if it would even work or even play. I love the fact that so far this book is actually doing that. Because I wonder, it was kind of like how y'all felt with Nightcrawler. It was like, well, I don't know if this book is actually needed. Because I have felt like that a couple of times. I enjoy the start of this book, and I'm definitely going to keep reading. And I love Storm's portrayal in this one because it kind of touches on stuff that you hardly ever see. With her character, like, you know, she's the nurturer, you know, she's, you know, she is a fighter, you know, she can kind of, when she gets pissed.
Right. She's a leader. Right.
Yeah. She is definitely a leader. And when she puts her mind to something, she will definitely get it done. And this touches on all of that. And I'm really liking it. So I would almost go so far as to say this is probably going to be click of the week for me.
Nice.
From my notes, I wrote down that Greg Pak touched on emotional beats relating to stereotypes and prejudice. The prejudice coming from the group that was trying to, I guess, take over that land that the Africans were on, and the stereotype. The corporation.
Mm-hmm.
And the stereotype coming in where was it Creep? A.K.A. Flourish, some mutant I had never heard of before, was kind of stereotyping Storm.
Which, and that got her into action. Yeah.
Got her heated.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure to check out Storm number one. Make sure it sticks around. Let's see, what else we have this week? I see both of y'all read All New Invaders number 8, so... I saw Steve, who's the artist that's back on it?
Steve Pugh?
Pugh is back on it this month, so I said I'd check it back out again.
All right, Roddy, what do you think of this?
So, you know, the Vader books continues to be pretty great. And going, the storyline just seems to be setting up, could be quite interesting. You kind of wonder who, you know, who are they going to end up fighting in the long run? And the character that pops back up, which is a character that's popped back up, which, I'll go ahead and say it, it's Deathlok, or in this case, a bunch of Deathloks, is kind of a fit for them. This was a pretty good read. I like the fact that it seemed like they are incorporating older characters, which kind of have been within recent issues, well, within issues in general, you know, kind of bringing back old characters who, that's been associated with the Invader and possibly, you know, new ones to be associated with them. So I'm kind of like that. And I kind of love the, they had the little bonding moment in there with Torch and Namor while they're fighting. What I don't like, though, I can't say what I don't like because this is a kind of a non-issue. So Toro shows up in this book. And if you know the character of Toro, he was the original Human Torch's sidekick. He was also supposedly at the time a mutant. To which this story goes ahead and says, hey, you remember when we thought he was a mutant? No, he was an Inhuman.
Ah, that's right. This is what you were referring to.
Yeah. And
there's, enough of those pesky mutants in the Marvel Universe. Get more Inhumans out there. Robber, robber. Well,
right. And that's what I kind of said.
I did read this, and I do remember thinking, I wish I had had a chance to jot down a couple of notes about this. But now that you mention it, you know, my, you know, all the thoughts out, you know, that I was trying to keep track of regarding, you know, the future of mutants in the Marvel Universe starting to come back now. That's pretty, you know, that's interesting that, yeah, this is sort of the seed that's been planted now. Like, oh yeah, Toro, who, honestly, when Toro was introduced, the concept of mutant characters wasn't really, you know, around. You know, Toro was, you know, Toro is a character from, what, the 40s and 50s, whereas the X-Men really hadn't been introduced yet, and the concept of mutant powers really hadn't been explored like that.
Right.
So, you know, it's not completely insane that, yeah, you know what, we thought he was one thing and now he's another, but yeah, it's kind of convenient that, you know, this is I guess their testing ground for this particular idea, right?
It would seem so, but there's like the Terrigan Mist ended up being a convenient use in the last, what, 6 months or so, which you would expect that they threw that out there, so that was going to be the case. Like, either there's going to be a new villain, you know, villain that
it's
comes
like along literally a Deus Ex Machina, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's literally, like, coming out of the sky, so. Yeah.
It's like, hey, we got a couple of new characters to play with one way or the other, and, hey, why not just throw a couple of characters that bring a couple of characters back in the fold and, you know, fold them into that. Which in this case kind of worked because they're basically, you know, it was like he was pretty much the reason the team comes back into play.
Right. So, you know what's cool about this, though? I mean, I recall there have been a couple of abbreviated Invader series that were launched, you know, I'm going back all the way to like the mid-90s.
Right.
And this is the one that seems like it has the best set of legs underneath it. This is the one that seems to be the best developed for the characters. It seems like this is the one that may have some future to it.
Agreed.
I don't know if you recall some of these previous incarnations, or at least the ones that go back to the mid-90s, you know, efforts to kind of reintroduce the Invaders to modern readers. But I think this is probably the best attempt at it so far. I'm enjoying this. Mm-hmm. I got a kick out of seeing the Deathloks at the end, you know, spoiler alert, of course. But it's kind of cool to see that, yeah, Namor is not a complete jerk-off.
All of the time.
You know, all the time. He's only a complete jerk-off when he's hanging out with the new Avengers.
Speaking of which, kind of comes in at a panel.
Yeah, they do make – yeah, I was about to say, you know what's funny about that is that, you know, they do make a brief appearance in this. You know, this issue does actually – you know, what's funny is that this is like a classic comic book move. It actually shows you the exact time – that this character steps away from a storyline in another book to join this storyline.
Right.
You know, that's kind of cool. Like, it made me feel nostalgic for, like, days, you know, for days of yore, right, where they would do stuff like that. Like, oh, you know, this happened in, you know, with the little blurb. This happened in this issue, number whatever. You know, check that out.
Right. And it seems like, I don't know, I don't know how what Robinson's planning, but it seems like this kind of a book that's going to, for lack of a better word, more humanize Namor. Because they even say it in the book, it's just like, yeah, like getting away from all the other stuff I'm doing, this is basically refreshing. And
this eases my conscience.
Yeah, it was like he needed this. He
you know, I'm too busy killing worlds with the Illuminati.
Right. So you know, I'm actually starting to like him a little bit more.
Right. What's cool, what's really cool, though, is, you know, as we said, you know, this book is starting to, like, kind of, you know, humanize Namor, but also I kind of like where Robinson is pulling in a lot of different threads to really establish that this book is set in current Marvel continuity, from, you know, from Agent Coulson making an appearance to, you know, the Illuminati to, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like it's all there. So it's kind of, you know, it's definitely entrenched in the current Marvel continuity. Oh, look at this. Dorgeekus tweets at us, I remember the Invaders with the flaming skull guy. Yes, yeah. I remember that too. I think that's what I'm recalling as well.
Mm-hmm. So I suspect we will probably see some of those characters going forward, though, which I'm all for. But this was a good read. Go check it out. It starts a new storyline that's involving Deathlok. It's Deathlok's and possibly somebody else that we don't know about just yet.
Right. So it's a lot of fun. And we'll see what happens to Toro.
Yep.
All right, let's see what else. How about, did anybody read? Amazing Spidey number 4? I saw you put up a review, right? Tim?
Tim, I think you're muted.
Are you on mute, Tim? Yes, you are on mute, Tim. Poor Tim's on mute. All right, Rod.
I can't read sign language. Yes.
Did you read Amazing Spidey number 4?
I did. I did not. I haven't read Amazing Spider-Man since it's been back out, to be honest.
Oh, no. All right. So I guess I'll talk about it, and if Tim wants to jump in, maybe he's having some technical difficulties, he can jump in and join the conversation as I take the time to pull up the issue because I didn't jot any notes down this week. Well, what we have in this issue is the introduction of – yes.
There we go. You're back.
Yay! We're talking Amazing Spidey number 4. Hello? Check 1, check 2. Comedy.
Very odd.
Oh, you got it.
Had to unplug and put back in. Yeah, I was trying to jump in when you were talking about Invaders and say that, see, at least right now it looks like it seems like it's safe because I guess right before San Diego Comic-Con, Marvel had a little mini retreat,
right,
and they invited James Robinson and Jerry Duggan for the first time. So unless they just invited him to talk, to keep him in the loop for Fantastic Four stuff, Invaders hopefully will be sticking around.
I hope
Yeah, presumably those retreats are almost like all hands. I don't know if they do specifically, you know, I know they break up into groups, but I don't know if they're like, well, this group having a retreat at this time type of stuff. So I'm not sure. I would love to be at one day, but
that's my goal.
Mm-hmm.
That is pretty cool.
But yes, Amazing Spider-Man number 4 introduced the character Silk fully and gave her origin and how she ties into another character from Spider-Man's past who I don't know about, but I'm sure other people do.
Who's that? And,
Ezekiel.
Oh, you weren't reading Spidey at that time?
I guess not.
You didn't miss much.
And the only thing I wasn't crazy about is her homemade costume out of her own webbing.
Yeah, which doesn't cover up all the... Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny.
They're supposed to be trying to get away from women, their female heroes and sexual outfits, but not that big of a... It's kind of a step backwards if you look at hers.
Yeah, I wonder if it's not the... That's not the... It kind of strikes me as like the first attempt at a costume. It may not be the final version. So, yeah. You know,
we'll see.
That's how it struck me. But what did you think of, you know, this is obviously an original Sin tie-in. What did you think of how, well, actually, you know what? It's hard for you to discuss this because it really does, you know, draw on a lot of those Ezekiel and what was it? The other Roddy, did you read those Spidey stories that
Which
they're referencing?
Are?
The Straczynski stories, the other and Ezekiel and all that stuff.
I did read the other. Yes.
So, you know, this definitely draws on a lot of the storylines and the threads that were established in the other storylines that Straczynski did.
Is that, you know, a good thing?
I don't know, because I don't look back. I don't think those stories have aged very well. I don't look back on them and think of them fondly, which is funny. Because I think I read them, you know, pretty avidly when they came out.
Right, because that was the stuff with the spider totem and he and Moreland, which I suppose I assume this is going to tie into Spider-Verse then, if that's the case.
Right, that's definitely where this is going.
So...
Definitely where this is going. So, you know,
I'm thinking that wasn't a great that storyline was not great personally, but you know, hey, it was what it was.
Right. And it's interesting that there is a cliffhanger in this issue. We won't spoil it completely, but there is a cliffhanger at the end.
I was all for it.
Oh, great. Now I'm going to have to read it.
Yep, there is a cliffhanger at the end, so I won't spoil it, but you know, it's like, "Oh, wait, what happened just now?" So that's pretty much how I reacted to that.
Kind of see it coming.
Yep. Let's throw out. What did you read, Tim?
What did I read? Scroll. Let me talk about Mighty Avengers number 12.
All right, I read that. I think we all did.
No, but go for it.
Oh, you didn't read it?
No, I didn't get a chance to.
Okay, so we won't spoil too much.
It's not really too much to spoil. You find out more about the secret Mighty Avengers team that Luke Cage's father was part of with Adam Brashear, because he wasn't – what's his name?
Blue Marvel.
He wasn't Blue Marvel back then. And you had him and Blade and a character called the Bear, which was introduced by Kieran Gillen, I'm assuming, in Iron Man. I'm not sure if she's popped up anywhere else before then. But we do find out her origin, which was kind of interesting. And, yeah, that was basically the original Sin tie-in, and they tie it in closely to this team, and you see how at the end. So, it was cool. I like Al Ewing. I like his writing. He tells good stories. He seems to have a good grasp of the Marvel Universe.
Yes, I agree with that.
Indeed.
Because I'm like...
That's an excellent point.
And actually, Axel Alonso pointed that out on, was it the Cup of Joe or whatever thing that he does every Friday on CBR. But because some of the stuff he brings up, I have no clue about. And he makes it compelling, and he makes sure to keep it witty, too.
Yeah, I enjoy that, and I specifically, this is kind of a point for me, but I kind of like the way he's writing Luke Cage, because I've had issues with the way certain people have in the past. So, and I have been enjoying this book so far. I just didn't get a chance to read this one. So,
Okay.
So what else we got?
Let me see if I can throw something out there. Where's Roddy's list? Let's see if I read anything here. I did not read Wolverine and the X-Men. You know what we'll talk about? Because Dork Geek has tweeted at us, I see that you read this. Roddy, we were talking about it just before we went on the air, 100th anniversary Avengers number one.
Yes.
So you can talk about it. Don't spoil too much, but I did skim it. I want to read it. I'm jazzed to read this now tonight, so you can go on ahead and talk about it.
Yeah, there's really not too much to spoil on this one. It's, as most of these are, set in, I assume most of these are set in a future time. We have a team here of Rogue, Beta Ray Bill, and Doctor Strange, or some variations of them, I should say, because they basically split out, said like, yeah, this is not the first iteration of either of a couple of these characters, and I can, don't know what's not sure about Rogue's deal. Either way, they're in the future. I'm not sure. See, that's what I was asking you before. Was this a continuation off of some of the other book? Because they kind of made it sound like this was coming from, you know, something else that they even have little footnotes that's relates to color other books. But I don't know. This seems like it was just straight up self-contained, but just making references to the book that haven't happened yet or won't happen. Right. But regardless, we see this team in a triangle floating about, I guess, patrolling or something. I'm not sure what they were supposed to be doing, but they come across a very old, and let's say the son of an old Vision, not Vision at all. A villain that belongs to the Fantastic Four. And if you go really early on to that, you know who it is. So it is pretty, the art is pretty much more the standout here, because the story in itself is kind of weird and one and done-ish, but it's still a decent read, I think. But the takeaway from this book is definitely the art. Because as you said earlier, you know, it's, was it you said, James Stokoe?
Stokoe, yeah.
Yeah, and it is really defined art, and I enjoyed the heck out of it.
Like, it's quirky. What it is. It's got character. Yeah. You know, it's probably not for everyone. It's not like traditional superhero work. It's definitely much more in the independent comic vein, but it's just so striking. It's so detailed. You can get lost in the line work, and, you know, sometimes that's just so fun to do. So just, you know, stare at the page and look at all the intricacies that the artist puts on the page. So
let's put it this way. If this was a what-if book, you would not be surprised.
That's basically what all these things are.
Yeah.
They're just what-if stories of what could what the Marvel Universe could look like for the 100th anniversary.
Exactly.
Yes, and Dark Geekers brings up, yes, Iron Man shows up in a Futurama type form.
That's funny. And I also see Dark Geekers tweeting at us about Greg Land's art. Yeah, it didn't bother me as much this issue. Maybe it was because there seems to be a lot more action going on in smaller panels. So I didn't really notice it as much, but it still bothers me to a great extent. How about I throw out a couple of books? Did anyone read Daredevil number 6?
No.
No? Just very quickly then, you know, this goes into a weird direction involving Daredevil's mother, Sister Maggie. And the original Sin, I'm not going to spoil, but it's, you know, I hate to say this, it's one of those things that just sort of made sense. And, you know, this is just sort of the kind of story, you know, it being a revealing of original sins that kind of makes this the time to talk about, you know, something that was probably an underlying issue in Daredevil from the beginning. And I don't want to spoil it because it does, you know, it just does sort of fit into the concept of this original sin storyline and the, you know, the whole point in revealing these secrets. And it's just something that was always, it always seemed to be under the surface. And this was the time to bring it up. What I don't like about the story is where it went with that. You know, the revelation is one thing. I guess that could have been, you know, the entire book, but I guess Wade didn't want to dwell on that too much and move forward into a storyline that kind of, well, we know it's going to be a crossover with Black Panther because something happens where, you know, Wakanda has to get involved. So, or Wakanda becomes involved. So, you know, that's where this is going. But, you know, up until that point where, you know, the story sort of takes the swerve and creates this crossover opportunity, it was a pretty, you know, effective use of the original Sin tie-in and the whole idea behind the story. So, you know, kind of mixed review, mixed grade for Daredevil number 6 for me.
Good review.
Let's see. Let's throw out. Seems like I've got a couple more books than everybody else. Did anybody read Monomyth number 1 by our man Seek Donnelly over at Awesome Comics?
I remember reading it before we had him on for his return interview.
Right. It was nice to see the complete copy. You know, like the final copy that's out there. You know, just very quickly, it's quality work. You know, seeing it, you know, in the flesh, seeing the final work out, it was very cool. Props to Seek Donnelly, and I want to make sure that I get his collaborators' names correct. Give me one second, because the gentleman's name who does the art, who's very, very influenced by 90s art and Jim Lee in particular, his last name is long, and I can sympathize with that. And I just want to make sure I get it correct. Give me one second as I flip through it to get to the credit. My man, Ninal Towski, Lord. Ninal Towski, first name Eric. His parents were wise and gave him a nice, simple first name. So, oh, and you know, the book is out there. If you're having trouble getting it, make sure that you go to your comic book retailer and have them order some more copies. Let's see what else we have here. How about Ragnarok number 1, IDW. This is my man Walt Simonson revisiting Norse mythology with Thor, but not with Marvel's Thor. So we basically get, you know, just as a quick aside, we all know that I'm, you know, a huge Simonson fan. I gush about Simonson all the time on this show. And when I was reading this, I couldn't help but notice that some of the art was obviously, because it's his style, was still reminiscent of some of the early Thor, you know, some of the art that he did on the Thor series in Marvel, and he's drawing elves. I'm like, wow, he still draws elves the same way. They look just like they did, you know, they look like, you know, relatives of Malekith the Accursed from Simonson's run on Marvel's Thor. So, I mean, that was kind of cool to kind of get that flashback. This is a variation on the Ragnarok myth and story. The art is phenomenal. It is Walt Simonson. It is very, very sharp. Some of his art recently on Marvel work hasn't been as sharp as I guess we would like it to be. It's been a little on the loose side and maybe heavily inked to try to make up for maybe some rougher pencils. But the pencil work in this and the inking in this is so sharp. It's definitely on a par with what was done in the 100th anniversary of Avengers, believe it or not, Roddy.
Okay.
You know, if you pull up Ragnarok number 1, you will see what I mean. The you know, the line work is, you know, is intricate, and the inking is spot on. It's not too heavy. The story is, you know, it's easy to get into. I don't want to spoil it. It's also kind of difficult to explain because it's a multifaceted story. I think it's a good first issue, I hate to say it's probably a difficult issue for someone who may not be all that interested in either Norse mythology or Simonson or some of the things that have come before. You know, it might be geared towards that person, me, but you know, I don't know if this is something that if you handed to a first-time reader and said, here, read this, and then ask them afterwards if they wanted to read the next issue, I'm not 100% sure this is the right book to hand them.
Yeah, I see what you're talking about, and flipping through it, this is nice.
You know, the line work is phenomenal. You know, and you get to that first splash page, woo! Because that's been in the previews. You know, you've seen the preview pages on all the websites, you know, where Thor is battling Jormungand, the world serpent. So, you know, that's just some phenomenal, phenomenal work. DC, anybody?
No,
unfortunately, no.
Dang, you guys, why am I the one? I seem to be able to fit in more reading on the train than everybody else. Aquaman number 33 was very good. I'm liking the fact that Pelletier is bringing some really strong work on this. We get the continuation of the Chimera story, where some scientists have created a Chimera of sorts with, by melding a dead or nearly dead human with a bunch of aquatic DNA and creating this morphing, camouflaging, super-powered, kind of monster from the Black Lagoon, kind of like a monster from the Black Lagoon, kind of creature from the Black Lagoon kind of looking thing. But he's got more of a rapport, we'll put it that way, more of a rapport with the sea life than even Aquaman does, and that's a shocker in itself. This is an action-packed story, no doubt. This is definitely one of the more fun issues of Aquaman that have come down the pike in recent memory. This was actually close to being my click of the week because it just seemed to be a lot going on in it. Did anyone read Batman 33?
No.
Oh, you guys are killing me.
I started it.
Yeah.
So
no.
I don't want to go into this too much because I don't want to spoil how it ends. All I can say is I wasn't thrilled with how it ended. Maybe it's just how Snyder's been doing some of these, and maybe it's the way some of the more recent storylines have been. Correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm not spoiling anything by telling you this, but the story kind of reaches its climax. The greater story arc reaches its climax conclusion of like the major story arc in the middle of this issue, and then we deal with the aftermath in the last half of the issue. You know, that's kind of jarring to me. It's kind of a tough read to pick up, to pick up this one book and then get to the aftermath afterwards, you know, in the same book. I don't know. Maybe I've fallen into the trap of seeing epilogue issues, you know, having these big things, you know, end on like the next to last page or the last page, and then the next issue is dealing with the aftermath. You know, maybe that's just like a small quirk, a small qualm I have with the storytelling style. But, otherwise, you know, in terms of how it ended and the execution of it, I wasn't that thrilled with it. It seemed to borrow from a lot of different tropes, stopping the imminent destruction of Gotham City at the very, very last second seemed very, What was I thinking of? You guys remember The Rock? Not The Rock as in, you know, Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, but The Rock with Nicolas Cage and Sean Connery?
Yes. Michael Bay.
There's... The Rapist.
The what? The Rapist.
I know you all watch Saturday Night Live.
Saturday Night Live. I knew that. As soon as you said it, it made me laugh. That's funny. But yes, you guys watch that movie, Nick Cage and Sean Connery, The Rapist. So there's a climactic scene in that movie that is very reminiscent that this issue reminds you of. So I'll leave it at that. I'll leave it at that. When you read it, you'll see what I mean.
Okay.
So I think I've covered – oh, and Winterworld number two, I read on Dirt's recommendation. I read number one, and I liked it. Number two was only so-so. I think that you know, it was a tough act to follow in terms of, you know, a pretty good number one issue. This is definitely setting up more storyline. I wasn't so keen on some of the sequences. You know, believe it or not, the art was kind of muddled towards the end, and it made figuring out what was happening kind of hard. And that's never a good thing when you want to establish drama and a reason to pick up the next issue. So that I was kind of unhappy with. But overall, it was a good read. But I just wasn't happy with, you know, the execution of the last few pages. And I think I covered everything I read this week.
Okay. Is it
so quick clicks? Or you got
clicks of the week?
Clicks of the week. What is my click of the week for my shorts list?
You're too busy keeping up with San Diego news.
I really am.
Kind of, but it's a good thing.
I'm doing the same thing, so
it's a good thing. I applaud you guys. You guys need to keep your Twitter feeds going with that San Diego news, and keep the ClickNation.com website, the Comic Book Chronicles, you know, going online with that news.
That Batman 66 box set. I want it. Anyway,
so I see that on the top of Bleeding Cool, right?
Yeah.
That's funny. And it comes with a Batmobile.
Yep.
That's pretty funny. All right. Click of the week time. What am I going to pick for my click of the week? What did I enjoy?
I'm going with The Amazing Spider-Man number 4.
Okay.
It's fun. Humberto Ramos' crazy kinetic art and the new character being introduced who hopefully doesn't turn into the next Alpha.
That's what Dirk Geekus was saying. I was saying online, I replied to one of Dork Geekus' tweets. I think Silk may survive. I'm ashamed to think this, but she might survive because she's a minority female superhero character.
And of course,
given the current climate in Marvel Comics, right?
Yeah.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. And my review of this is up on theclicknation.com, so check that out.
Chang Chang! All right. Let me throw mine out there. What did I enjoy the most? What did I have the most fun reading? Believe it or not, I'm going to go with All New Invaders number 8 as my click of the week this week.
It's a good pick.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun to read. You know, as we were saying before, you know, we delved a little bit more into Namor, and you know, it's fun seeing him bounce off of Jim Hammond, because, you know, for anyone that goes back, I mean, obviously I don't go back this far, but knowing the origins of Timely Comics and early Marvel Comics, Jim Hammond the Human Torch and Namor the Submariner were the first protagonist and antagonist, respectively, in the Marvel U. You know, go back and read Marvels by Busiek and Alex Ross. They're the ones who are, you know, like starting the, you know, like they're the ones having the first superpowered battles pre everybody, really. So it's kind of cool to see them as the center point of Invaders, you know, the relationships in the Invaders book.
I'm looking forward to reading that issue. You've got me, piqued my interest with it. I didn't read the last two. Introduce whoever that new girl.
That's actually a good, you know, that's a good time to pick it up too, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, indeed. I enjoyed that too. Which, oh yeah, I'm gonna get to that. So, yeah. So where are we now?
Your click of the week.
It's still gonna be, I'm going to keep it as Storm number 1, you know.
Nice.
Call it a slight bias on my part because I love the character, but it actually was a good read.
No, it was. It was well executed. It was definitely a close runner up for my click of the week.
Which one?
Storm
number 1.
Storm number 1 is very, very close. Very close. Let's see. Shouting out Dorkikus, who asked, I think he's refining something that we were talking about earlier. He's asking, how do we all feel about Comixology allowing downloads in PDF format? I presume that's what they mean by non-DRM format.
Well, so I was going to bring this up in a second. Yeah, there was another story that just came out on Bleeding Cool saying that you can back up with that. You can back up, what is it, from Image, Dynamite, Top Shelf, Cinescope, Mikey Brain, and I think that's it. You can back up all of those, basically download copies of all those and back them up. I love that. That is absolutely great. And plus, it kind of keeps them from, because I know, what is it, Fraction? I think it was Fraction said, like, but Sex Criminals on Image, I think. Anyway, if you go on Image site, then you could do that. If you buy the book from there, you can get a DRM from free copy, and plus they get a bigger cut, one or two of those. So the fact that Comixology is kind of just going ahead and doing this is a pretty great thing.
Cool. Oh, wait. Let me tweet out my click of the week. I'm going to jump on this bandwagon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was about to do that, but... But like that, this, as far as Click of the Week, it is definitely Storm number one
for me. Nice.
I will bring up another book. If you are an Avengers fan, and I'm referring to 1960s Steven Peel Avengers.
I saw that.
Yeah, check out Steven Peel, Steve and Mrs. Peel were needed number one. It is a bit of a nostalgia because if you have any kind of fondness for those characters, which I can't imagine too many people nowadays would, it is a good read. I enjoyed it.
You mean Uma Thurman?
No. No. I'm talking original Diana Rigg. Which I have still yet to see that whole movie, but
you know, same here. And I'm probably glad that I haven't watched the whole thing, right?
Yeah, and I feel like I'm going to, because every time this Avengers is referenced, that I feel a need to, but I don't. So there is that.
Right. You know what's funny? That the Avengers TV series, the British Avengers TV series, mm-hmm. one. I know that I've read at least one Avengers issue where Hawkeye makes a reference to Steed and Mrs. Peel, or at least Mrs. Peel, and you just had to get it. Oh, you do? Okay, that's awesome.
I think I do remember that, yeah.
Was that a Busiek issue? Was that earlier or later? I don't remember, but I remember reading that.
I want to say – it might have been – I need to go back and read those.
And two, this is the British Avengers TV show back in the day, and we're going back to pre-internet, when our only source of information on what was on television was the TV guide. And right. I remember getting a weekly TV guide, begging my parents to say, I want to know what's on TV. Let's get a TV guide. Grabbing the TV guide and seeing an Avengers show on TV somewhere, pulling it up and saying, what the hell is this? This is a Captain America Thor, man.
Right.
So it's kind of funny that, this is still going on, and it's even in comic book format now. So. I just wanted to mention that this is infamous for me for being that show, one of those shows that popped up in TV Guide, and you're like, oh wait, this is cool. Wait, no, it's not.
Yeah, and back in the day for me, it was like, well, you had Doctor Who coming on early and Fawlty Towers and all that stuff coming on PBS, right. And this is like one of those shows that kind of came up, somewhere along the lines, and was like, hey, I'm enjoying this. This is all right. And plus, hey, like I said, Diana Rigg.
Gotcha. That is funny. So. That is funny. All right.
So that's all the clicks of the week?
Yep. I think so.
Put a bow in her.
I want to thank everyone for tuning in live to tonight's Comic Book Chronicles.
Yep.
Very appreciated.
We do.
Make sure to follow us on our individual Twitter accounts at TimDogg98 and at TheClickNation. Roddy Cat is at Roddy Cat and at News Nerds Need.
Where there will be plenty of Comic-Con tweets being relinked and so on.
Yes. We're all going to be doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. After the show, after we hit end, I'm going to be pulling up sites to read news. And Agent 70 is at Agent_70. And make sure to follow Dirt, who is not here. He is at PCN_Dirt. And go to his website, popculturenetwork.com.
That's an awesome picture, by the way, Roddy Cat. I love that one. The Scotty Young cap and Bucky, the Winter Soldier, no pun intended.
Yeah, I immediately saw this. I was like, okay, this is great. I got to use this.
That's a great one.
That is a great one.
Yeah. Which, hey, that's it. If you listen to the audio version, wait. No, never mind.
Can't see it.
Yeah, but if you are listening to the audio version, go check out the YouTube version of this of the show.
That's right.
So next week there should be a show. Just depending on what time it'll actually air.
Right. So stay tuned to social media and theclicknation.com to find out when we go on live.
Yep. So there you go. So with that, we are signing off. Thank you for tuning into tonight's Comic Book Chronicles. And this is where I say we are signing off.
Peace. Feel better, peace. Dirt.
San Diego Comic Con 2014.